Okay. So there's an interesting phenomenon here, right? The problem, if we're talking, you know, the Agel, there's so much to talk about, and also so much that we've talked about in the past, right? So let's try something. Maybe we haven't talked about, but maybe we have. I don't even know. What we talked about last time, at least one of the elements that drove the Jews to sin in the Agel, right? And that is this quasi-deification, demigod to demigod status of Moshe, which makes it that his absence is terrifying. But it is interesting because the Torah describes it in a very weird way, right? What for them really got the panic going? Right, it's weird. If you actually think about it, right, what prompted the whole thing? So the Torah only tells us, Vayara'am ki voshesh Moshe loredet minahar, is they saw that he delayed. Yeah, right? Delayed. They tarried. He was late. Right? That's actually the proximate cause for their panic, is this notion that he delayed. Now, but what exactly, what is the emotion that engendered? So I think it's not often really pointed out carefully enough, because the Midrash is bothered by this, right? So what does the Midrash do, right? Right, and Rashi, the Midrash does several things, right? The first thing that it does, or I don't know if it's the first thing it does, but the probably the most famous thing it does that Rashi quotes is what? Before the Satan thing. Yeah, meaning the first thing that the Midrash tradition does is it says Boshesh means he's late from when they thought he was supposed to come. Right? Meaning, he was supposed to come after 40 days, and they miscalculated, was it the day that he went up there count, right, or not, and that meant that they were off by a day, which meant that they thought he was gone, right, and they go into panic. That's the first move the Midrash does. Then the second thing the Midrash does is, and this taps into what we were talking about last time, is that the Satan builds on that fear and shows them an image of a dead Moshe on a bed, right? Meaning the Midrash basically wants to come up with a very formal reason here, right? A very exact reason. What caused it, right? The first thing is that they thought he wasn't there when he was supposed to, which meant that they were wondering where he is. Step two, in their minds, he thought he was dead. They thought he was dead. So the Midrash, you know, puts it in very visceral terms, though you can easily see where the Midrash is an elaboration of their imagination, right? Whether it's the Satan personified or it's their imagination, right? It's the same way, like, you know, okay, someone knows that their spouse always drives home from work at, you know, this time, gets home at between, you know, 5:30 and 6, right? And then it's 6:30 and they're not home. They turn on the, right, they look at the traffic report and they discover that there's an accident, right, Pachodia Ter, 20 minutes from their house, right, where the driver was killed, right? Suddenly, right, you start panicking because there's late and you can now figure out, right, okay, they were supposed to be here, they would have been at this point, right, 20 minutes ago, right, and then you build it up in your imagination, right, so the Midrash takes the direction that they knew when Moshe was supposed to come. He was late, right, and once he was late, so now they imagine that he's dead. And built into everything we said last time, that makes it worse, because if he's a demigod and now a demigod dies, right, that creates utter panic, Right? And that's what happens. But if you hadn't grown up on that midrash, it's a little bit more complicated than this. Right? If you hadn't grown up in this midrash, it's not exactly that clear. Why? Because, as many of the Pashtunim know, do the Jews know how long Moshe is supposed to be on Har Sinai? Right? Meaning, the Midrashic tradition assumes they know that he's supposed to be there for 40 days, and therefore, the way they read Boshesh was, he was late. Right? He was late. Right? In a, like a, there was a time he was supposed to show up, and he did it, which sets your, sets the imagination wild.
I think that was almost always assumed that, like, oh, we have this pattern for 40 days. This is the first time that happened. There's no pattern.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Now, so what is the, so if you don't read it that way, then what does Boshesh mean? Right? Less he was late and more, well, no, I mean the word Boshesh clearly has to do with time, like carrying in time, but, yeah, right? Exactly. It's not that he's late. It's simply that the, meaning, I'll put it differently. In the Midrashic imagination, right, when did the Jews' fear set in? Only on day 39, which they thought was 40, and this whole thing, therefore, had to, by day, right, from start to finish, it happened in 24 hours, right? Day 39, which they thought was 40, right? Until then, they were fine, because they knew he was coming, right? He doesn't show up, now they think he's dead, and now they panic, and with 24 hours, right, they go from totally calm to, right, complete anarchy, right? That is the way that the Midrash imagines it. But if you don't think that they knew exactly when Moshe was supposed to come, right, so then you get a different perception of the psychology that led to anarchy, which was from day one, right, there is ambiguity. There is uncertainty, right? So sure, they expected it to be a little bit of time. They didn't know when. So probably, the first day or two, you know, maybe a week, I don't know, they were fine.
Maybe
even a month. Right? But the point is, right, it's not like this all happened on day 39, right? Rather, what happens is they don't know how long he's going to be gone. Moshe doesn't know how long he's going to be gone, which means that Hashem sort of put them from day one in a set, in a state where, right, of just uncertainty, where they just have to trust that things are going to turn out right, right? That puts a totally different spin on what's going on, right? Because it's not, it doesn't happen in 24 hours. It's, yeah, it's, okay, the first few days, okay, we miss him, but, you know, it doesn't make sense, it takes time, you know, but there, when there's, but the whole thing is about uncertainty, right? It's not a mistake. It's not, he was supposed to be back and he's not back. It's, we don't know where he's going to be back. So slowly but surely, this is taking a little bit too long. When's he going back? This seems weird. Maybe something happened to him. Probably not. You know, no, maybe something happened to him. I don't know, maybe not, things are, yeah, right? And then eventually it just, right? This has been too long, he's dead, right? That's a completely different way of reading, right, how they get here, right? Is it a mistake, right? And at that moment, because he's late, so now you assume the worst, or is it, it's not a mistake, it's that the entire Egel is pushed simply by uncertainty, right? And by the tenuous nature that they're in, where they're just sort of, I mean, think about it, right? They're in the desert here, in the middle of nowhere, right? And they have a miraculous leader who leads them to the desert, and then he goes and leaves them for a little bit, and then nothing, right? They just have no idea how long this is supposed to go on for. But in the meantime, you're like in the desert, and there are like, you know, as Chumash describes it itself, there are snakes and scorpions, right? Okay, you want to take the Midrashic tradition, not in their camp, right? Because they're surrounded by the Ananei HaKavod, but still, right? There are snakes and scorpions around, like it's a dangerous place. You can understand why this is building and snowballing, right? And I think I'll just add with this, it also gives you a totally different understanding of like what's Aaron doing, right? In the Midrashic tradition, right, what does Rashi say Aaron is doing? Trying to stall for 24 hours. Right? Right? That's what he's doing. And therefore, the Midrash has to explain, well, Aaron thought that he could have them worship of a Nazara, quasi something, you know, whatever, or not worship, but delay them, because he only needed to stall for 24 hours, because he realized that they made the wrong calculation, but for some reason he couldn't tell them this, or couldn't convince them of this. So all he had to do was stall. Right? That puts one spin on what Aaron's doing, right? But if Aaron didn't know when he was supposed to come back, now people don't know, and he has no idea how long this is going on, right? It could be another week, could be another month, could be another 6 months, could be another year for all he knows, right? Suddenly the predicament that Aaron is in is very different. This is not stalling for 24 hours. It's Aaron has a slowly building anarchist mob, right, that has been building. And now we're at the tipping point, and he doesn't know what it's going to be. And so it's not like he's stalling for 24 hours. He has no idea what to do because they don't know how long this is going on, right? That's a very different perspective of what Aaron is up against. And therefore, I think it's important to realize that for the Chumash, right, the proximate cause of this word called Boshesh, right? But there are two very different ways of imagining what, right, what exactly this looked like psychologically, right, chronologically, what is going on, and it really changes the way you view the scenarios. I'll just, you know, throw out one thing which is totally not kosher to this, but it's kosher to this word, because I've definitely said this at some point, but I don't know if you were here, so it's worth you knowing before you leave. Where else might we have the word Boshesh in a very important place in the Chumash? Okay, I haven't said it. Good. Right? Breishit. So, Adam and Chava, right? They what?
After the Yitzhak, they were embarrassed.
But before the Yitzhak, they were Erumim, but they weren't embarrassed. Why? Velo Yitzboshashu. Right? Now, most Mefarshim read that as, what's the Sharesh? Bosh. Right? Busha. They weren't embarrassed. Right? But the Targum Eretz Yisrael, right, this is in Targum Yonatan, don't read it that way. Right? I'm trying to remember if it's in all of the Targum Eretz Yisrael or just in Neil 50. Since at least some of the Targumei Eretz Yisrael, right, they translate it as Velo Amtinu Biikre, right, or something like that. What does that mean? Right, they read it as the Sharesh is not Bosh, but Boshesh, Bet Shin Shin, right, to tarry, right? And then, how do they read it? Not that they weren't embarrassed, but Lo Yit Boshashu, Lo Amtinu Biikre is, they didn't tarry in glory, right? Which Rai Weider pointed out to me once is essentially a neo-Christological read, right? Because, right, that's the phrase that the Christians used for the sin, right? It's the fall from glory, right? So the Amtinu Biikre is, right, they were perfect, and then Velo Yitzboshashu, it didn't last because they didn't tarry in their glory, right? They fell from glory, right? That's just a linguistic point for you to chew on, to realize that Boshesh, right, might come up there, and if it does, it totally changes the meaning of that pasuk. But that's really a time. Something for else, I'll just throw it out there.